Hello and welcome to Dog in the Spotlight. I'm George Sainsbury and I'm joined again by Lowry Cavallo Phillips.
Hello.
And she is always on the hunt for the ideal dog. And we are joined again by Lowry's husband, Ash. He is stepping in for Trevor again. Where is Trevor, Lowry?
Trevor is playing helter-skelter on the curls of a poodle today.
Wow. I know. So we half low every week to try and do a comical thing where Trevor could be. She spent quite a lot of time with that one. You wouldn't think it. What do you think about that, Ash?
It's interesting.
Interesting.
Kind of an insight into Lowry's mind.
Lowry's mind.
I think Ash is absolutely obsessed with it.
Obsessed with his jokes.
Loved it.
So, it is Boxing Day here in the US. And I know in the US you don't celebrate Boxing Day, but in the UK it's the day after Christmas. And we've got together, we've had a few Baileys and we've had a few panettone. Mm. And we've had your homemade sausage rolls.
Yes.
Went down a treat. Now, this dog breed is one that has been in the news recently, and especially due to being around Christmas. On Christmas Eve, I did some voluntary work at a shelter called Paws. If you're ever in Chicago, go to Paws, the dog and cat shelter. And there was this most gorgeous beagle called Bayou. And I've been volunteering on and off for the last month there, and he still hasn't been taken. And I'm so tempted, but he's an 8-year-old beagle. He's homeless and he's been in the shelter for a month. And I went and walked him. He's most friendly. He is older and he has a few medical issues. And I think that's what's putting people off.
Okay.
So to dedicate this to Bayou, we are going to be looking at the beagle this week.
Mm-hmm.
But as it's Christmas and it's slightly related, we're going to be talking about shelters in Dog in the News. So, Lowry, what's been happening in Dog in the News?
Well, you spoke a little bit there about shelter dogs and, you know, Christmas time. Obviously a time where a lot of dogs and cats and various other animals get adopted for Christmas. And you'd think, really, around this time then there'll be a lot of returns, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wrong.
Oh. Mm. Well, yes. Hang on. There'll be lots of returns, but what, they pick them up and give them back straight away? What do you mean?
I mean that a lot of people get dogs for Christmas and are sometimes gifted dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And therefore, for my research, I was looking through and seeing what is the rate of dogs that are returned to shelters after being adopted for the Christmas period. Because they say a dog is not just for Christmas, it is for life. And they made that slogan so that people would take it more seriously to get a dog around Christmas time. Mm. However, there's been a lot of false reporting around this, and lots of animal shelters are trying to push back against the publication of being really wary about getting dogs for Christmas. They say actually it's really helpful to get dogs for Christmas and that the return rate is lower than the rest of the year.
And what do you mean? So once you've got the people who get their dog for Christmas, they don't return that dog. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. In general, about 80 to 90% of dogs that are adopted are kept by the people they're adopted by.
Right.
But it depends where you look, 4 and 10% on an average year are returned because they don't fit the home.
Okay.
And I was expecting that around Christmas, that would be higher because more people are getting dogs, more people are gifting dogs, but it's not. And actually animal shelters are really feeling quite passionate about encouraging people to get dogs at Christmas and that it's not a novelty gift in that actually the returns are lower. Now, the types of dogs that through the year tend to be returned to animal shelters after being adopted because they don't fit, there's a clear dog that is returned the most. What do you think it would be?
Husky?
Not a husky.
Pitbull, one of those sort of ones?
It's a pitbull.
Mm. Right.
A pitbull. And I didn't know this, but 93% of pitbulls in shelters are euthanized.
Wow.
Really, there is the most prolific dog in animal shelters, therefore adopted more, but therefore returned more. But also, what day of the year do you think the most dogs turn up in animal shelters? There's a specific day.
So I think if you get a puppy at Christmas, say, mm-hmm. And they usually have this about between 5 and 9 months is when dogs go through this teenage age. Mm-hmm. And they usually say a lot of the dogs are between about 5 to 9 months when they're sort of going through a teenage rebellious age. And they're like, I can't cope with this dog. So I'm going to guess something like June sort of time, because also people might want to go on holiday for the school holidays. Mm. I don't know, mid-June.
What do you think, Ash?
I'm going to go the opposite logic. I'm going to say kind of in the middle of winter, when they realise that things start to get a bit more difficult.
Walking the dog.
I mean, we did just say that that is the lowest time for returns, but nevertheless.
Middle of winter, a little bit later than Christmas.
Again. I mean, the sentiment of dog in the news is that that doesn't happen.
I was listening this time.
That's actually below the average across the entire year.
So what you're saying is I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What is it, I wonder?
It is July the 5th, because so many pets run away with the fireworks on July the 4th.
Oh, so they're not given away. There's like strays and found that
sort
of way.
Well, it depends whether they can find the owner or not, but it's the day of the year that most animals turn up in animal shelters.
That is really interesting. And just by the way, I was pretty close mid-June.
You were by complete accident.
Yeah, by accident. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Well, thank you for that, Valeria Cavello Phillips. And a little lesson for you, Ash. Open your ears.
Is this not the third week in a row? Or the second week in a row that you've not been able to recall what's just happened?
If I remember the whippet, when I said what was from the up north of England, and I said what was the...
What's the national dog of Austria?
The whippet. So maybe we need Trevor back. Trevor, stop helter-skelting on those curls of a poodle.
I know I'm doing it. I have like this logic where everything you're saying sounds perfect, and then you say one thing and it's June. I'm like, no one's getting rid of their dogs in July. It's called the opposite.
Strategy's not working for you.
Not at all. Anyway, thank you, Lori, for Dogs in the News. In this episode of Dog in the Spotlight, we are going to look at the Beagle, and it's slightly related to Christmas and shelter. As I was saying, I volunteered in the Bayou, the Beagle is still there if anyone's interested. But this year, there was a huge thing on the news about saving 4,000 beagles from a breeding farm. You read a bit more information about that.
I did, yes. So it's a really sad story. Basically, there was, in Virginia, there was this... you know, pet breeding, beagle breeding unit or farm. And originally, the Department of Agriculture and Animal Protection were called out because there was a single beagle that was trapped, its paw was trapped, which then led them to discover many other things that were going on in this particular place. And it transpires that they ended up needing to save 4,000 beagles from this breeding farm in Virginia because they were being bred for animal testing and animal research. Mm-hmm. And there was a mass influx then of beagles, obviously, into the surrounding shelters. And what I found out about a little bit later is that Virginia do a lot of this kind of testing to the point where a state senator, I'll have to come back to his name, but a state senator, he appealed, or here he is, Bill Stanley, a Republican senator, that in Virginia in general, there should be a limited sale of companion dogs or pets, and the majority of sale of dogs should be for research. And
beagles or dogs?
Just dogs in general, just as companion animals. It didn't pass. And as well, he was invited to go and tour a facility. And after going to tour a facility of you know, such breeding, he eventually came out and said that he doesn't think that's right. He thought it was really quite unpleasant.
It's awful. Mm.
Yes. So, but they all, 4,000 got saved.
Yeah.
And
I heard that even they went all over the world. They went, all over the country. They even had them in Chicago in Paws, and they would say, we're having this, because it was all major news.
Yes, and they need to distribute these dogs out in order to give them the best chance of being
And
adopted.
There were lots of puppies. There were lots of mothers who have the puppies, and they weren't socialised.
Yeah.
So this is in honour of all those 4,000 beagles who are looking, and not a lot of them have been rehomed, but still are still looking. So let's look at the beagle and its history. Now, the beagle actually has been around for many, many years. It was depicted in popular culture since the Elizabethan times in photo and in paintings, etc. In the medieval times, the word beagle was just used as a generic description of a small hound. So the word beagle's been around for a long time. That sort of breed, not the breed we know today, but kings and queens had what we call like a miniature beagle. They were called a glove beagle because it fitted in your glove.
Tiny.
Wow. Yeah, I think when they took gloves, they had the big scrolling thing over their hands.
Humongous not, gloves.
Yeah, no. They didn't just have the thing we put on our hands. You know, you put your hands in the sort of glove thing. And Queen Elizabeth I had a pocket beagle. So they weren't the beagle we know today, but the word beagle was used often. Now, the one we know today was developed by a lot of these dogs have been extinct now, the Talbot Hound, the North Hound and the Southern Hound, and the dog which we still know today and is around today, the Harrier, which is like a big beagle. And they were bred for scent. They have the excellent scent. They've got the third best scent of any dog, over just under the Bloodhound and the Basset Hound. And they were primarily bred, they did rabbits and rodents, but they were primarily bred for hunting hares. And it was known as beagling, which I'd never heard of, the verb beagling when you're hunting hares.
Is that anything to do with the bugle?
Maybe. I don't know. I have no idea.
Or is that a coincidence?
Beagle and bugle, I don't know. I'm just guessing a coincidence. If any viewers know this, you could do a bit of research after the show and let us know in the next episode there, Lowry. So the breed we know today was developed by an individual called Reverend Philip Honeywood. It's a cute name.
It's a nice name.
Anyway, he had a pack of, because they were starting to be going like all different animals, all different hounds were getting bred all differently, but they found this pack of hounds in Essex in 1830, and this was the basis of what we know as the modern beagle today. They were all white, and then to develop the more look as well as the hunting breed, there was a guy called Thomas Johnson, and he refined it to have the more liver patches, brown and white, etc., as we know today.
I wonder how he did that from just all white.
So that was the one they used, but they also used another pack. He used another pack from Prince Albert, had a pack of beagles, and I think they probably had different colours. But I think they're talking about the strain of the hunting, their hunting ability came that way. But there were two coats. There was known as the rough and the smooth. We know the smooth. The rough was still around up until 1969, and then it just gradually lost and just developed into what we know today as the smooth head beagle. It was, as all these dogs, when they first get bred, there's always a threat of extinction. And at one stage in 1887, there was only 18 packs of beagles left, as we know again today. And so then in 1890, the Beagle Club of the United Kingdom was formed to protect these dog breed. Again, after World War One, like many dog breeds, the popularity fell. And the pocket beagle, which I mentioned Queen Elizabeth I had, that dog went extinct. So we don't have the pocket beagle anymore. However, it came, they revived, Reynolton Kennels revived the breed, and it became to do really well. Now, it's far more popular in the US than it is in its native country, England.
That's interesting. I would say it's such a British dog.
It's such a British dog, but when you look at the popularity, this in 2021, it is the 8th most popular in the US, and in 2021 in the UK, it's the 18th.
Wow.
Now, there's many reasons why it is more popular in the US. And the first reason, it was number one from 1953 to 1959. Now, a cartoon character was developed then. What cartoon character do you think it was?
Snoopy
was, introduced in the 1950s. So that really helped it. But also, Norman Rockwell. You know, we've got that painting of Norman Rockwell, and he used to include dogs, and he was very fan of the beagle in the 1940s. So again, this popular culture really helped develop the beagle to become a popular dog breed, and it is still one of the most popular dog breeds in the US. And a huge thing of that is its temperament. It is brilliant with children. It's very even-tempered, it's very gentle disposition, it's not aggressive, it's very friendly. To start with, initially it can be a bit standoffish with strangers, but warms up very easily. So they say they're not the ideal guard dog, because they're not sort of going to be alerting you, they just want to be snuggled and hugged. However, they are very vocal dogs. They can howl, they can bark, so probably not your ideal in an apartment. And Bayou, I would take you in a heartbeat, but we are in an apartment. And they, even on its description, he says he likes a chat, which insinuates he's quite vocal. They are, again, brilliant with dogs, brilliant with kids. With a cat, because they have that instinct to hunt, they probably used to their pet cat, but again, you would need to keep it on a lead. But even taking away cats, you need to keep beagles on leads unless they're really well trained. Now, Stanley Coren, they're not the most intelligent. They're the 72nd most intelligent. So again, Stanley Coren does it on how quickly they pick up commands, and they're not very quick. But they're also renowned for being quite naughty. My friend Hannah, if you're listening, she had two beagles growing up, Beatrice and Lucy. And they can be, when they're in a two or a three, they have this pack mentality. And they sort of, you know, they're not positive influences with each other. And in the end, they had to get rid. I think they rehomed Beatrice and kept Lucy because, no, or Lucy the other way around. They were just so naughty. They would get in the bins. They would chew stuff. They would destroy stuff. And they do suffer from separation anxiety. And they can, not all, but can be destructive. So it's just making sure. The ideal one is being at home regularly for this temperament, because they do have a destructive sort of instinct if they are bored, or especially in a pack of two, they have that packed instinct. But again, they're not the most needy for exercise. They do like their exercise because they enjoy their, you know, their hunting instinct, etc.
I associate them with hunting, which is why I'm surprised that they're not higher up in terms of their ability to learn commands or, you know.
But I think also there's a lot of hounds tend to not be the most intelligent, but what they tend to be is because they follow a pack. So they don't need to be individual. Like, it's a bit like a basset hound and the bloodhound. They're renowned not for being well-behaved because they don't need to follow one command. They're following the pack. And so that can be a bad influence again. Again, if you're very experienced dog owner, I don't think it'll be an issue. So again, this is why when they had those 4,000 beagles, it wasn't the easiest breed to rehome, even though they are super popular and brilliant with kids.
Do they shed?
Because they're smooth head, they are going to shed. Okay. Yeah. Not hugely, but they will shed, definitely shed. But again, if you're working from home or you have that sort of, you can give that time, they'll be your ideal dog, personally, as their behaviour. Now, you were mentioning they are used regularly, and they are, when you talk about sort of testing dogs in labs, the beagle comes up a lot. And Ash has looked into why, and also its medical and its life expectancy. So Ash, over to you.
Okay. Yeah. So I looked into it, and really it's the reasons are the same reasons that make it such a great pet. So, firstly, the reason is that they're so docile.
Is this for testing?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. They're so docile in their behavior, and submissive, and their size, you know, it's kind of the perfect size for testing.
Because they're quite small. They're actually your ideal dog in the fact that if you like a small dog, it fits in. If you like a slightly bigger dog, you're sort of like a dog.
It's got the characteristics of a larger.
Yes, I can see. Yeah. Right. But what the main for the so breeding for laboratory
dogs. And essentially they are purely breeding for labs, and that's the only one that's actually allowed now out of the two
in the US. Is this I find it so
they're allowed
sad.
To breed specifically to have them go into labs,
right? Yeah,
I find that unbelievable that in this day and age we can breed dogs to specifically then just use for medical research.
I find it awful in the fact that people jump on like, oh, you know, some Asian countries eat dogs. That's disgusting. But you're doing, you're torturing them. I don't know. I find it.
I mean, I'm not forgiving eating dogs.
No, I'm not. No, but I find how people like can be like that.
We should end it off.
Yeah, but I find how people can say that.
Let's not test them.
Test them or eat them. Let's just have them as pets.
Isn't it shocking? Some people say that we shouldn't be eating them, but I think they're delicious.
So, taking away that, what about their, are they a healthy breed?
So in general, they are very healthy. You know, I feel like most dog breeds, there is something about them that someone will say, oh, that breed, you don't want them because of this.
Yes.
However, the things you know about beagles and their health issues are kind of small. So a big one is the eyes.
Okay.
They have a lot of...
Eyes.
It has no eyes. There are a lot of issues that you might see with a beagle that causes it to have that kind of red eye that, honestly, you see in cartoons that typically will have that red eye because there are so many conditions that causes that. Mm. But one of the main things is cherry eye, which is an awful name. A cherry eye. And essentially what it is there's like a third eyelid that kind of slips out of place and just causes...
Wait, eyelid?
Yeah, that's the kind of simplified to what I understand explanation.
And does it cause blindness? What is it, like an antiviral?
No, it doesn't necessarily cause blindness, but it obviously it does increase the risk of infection. And if you have a beagle, you do have to kind of research how to keep... how to take care of their eyes.
Right. I suppose it's a bit like with dogs which have like rolled skin. It's like how to look after their skin. Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Can I clarify the third eyelid thing?
Yes.
Are you calling upper lid and lower lid too? Is that...
Okay, let me give you the scientific then, okay?
Because okay.
We're going to go into it.
And this might help, Larry. I doubt it, but it might help you.
Okay.
This will help tremendously.
Okay.
A prolapse nictitans gland in the eye. You following? Commonly referred to as cherry eye, is common in beagles. This condition happens when the tear gland, so I guess it's like an extra...
Right.
Is inflamed, become invisible in the lower inner corner of the eye. It's usually not painful, but it can lead to eye infections.
So funny? The more I think about it now, a lot of beagles you see do have that red...
Yes.
Bayou has it. Yeah. That's interesting.
Little bayou.
Another thing is obesity. And I found this really interesting. Mostly because,
I'll tell you while you find that it's funny. You really do have to watch their weight with beagles because they do love their food. And Bayou, I know I keep talking about Bayou, he is a bit of a chunkster. And it even says, he says he loves his food. So he's vocal. He says he loves his food and he drinks water. He has medical issues as well. But yeah, he is so cute. But yeah.
I mean, he wouldn't fit in here because there's such a rigorous, lean diet.
Margot has put her weight on over Christmas. I do.
Jesus. Which Christmas? Christmas 2020.
Can we stop body shaming little Miss M?
So the reason, apparently, and I've only read this on one source, so don't quote me on this, but it seems to make sense, is it's because of their sense of smell. They have such a strong sense of smell that gives them kind of an insatiable appetite. Because if they smell something, they will seek it out.
So. You saying that, my friend Hannah, who had the two beagles, literally they would find food. They would come back and they would go through the rubbish bin. Mm. It would be a nightmare. That's so interesting.
Yeah, so those are the two big ones, really. Obesity, eye problems. And then another one, which is down to what we love them for. Their big floppy ears kind of create the perfect conditions for ear infections because the ear opening is completely covered, which is kind of a moist, dark...
That fresh air.
Yeah, exactly. So yeast can grow. And so also with beagles, you have to learn how to take care of their ears to make sure that they stay clean.
And for you English people out there, it's ears. I'm hearing years.
Yeah.
Anyway, talking about years, what's their life expectancy?
Nice segue, very clever. 12 to 15 years, which is kind of common for that
size.
And
they're quite a long-lived dog in general because of all their, you know, they don't have loads of health issues, etc. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for that, Ash.
Well, I've got one more, George. I know you're trying to palm me off, but I think you like this one.
Go on.
So they have long tails that seem to never stop wagging. I think we all know this. But as a result of wagging too much, beagles can suffer from limber tail syndrome.
What's that?
Also called swimmer's tail. You might have heard of that. So it's a temporary acute condition that results in a strain in the muscles used to keep the tail upright, causing a limp and sore tail.
That is so cute. Aww.
It usually resolves within a day or two of rest, but can require some pain medication.
Ash can relate. That is so cute because they're so happy.
Yeah.
God, it makes me so bad that they're getting blinking tested on. Anyway, so we've heard about the temperament. We've heard about the looks. Mm-hmm. Now, we need to know about the names.
Oh.
So we've got the top girl, three girl names, and the top three boy names.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ash. Oh, no. What do I do? Do I tell you first, don't I? And then you tell me your top ones. So have a think. So the top boys, the top girl names.
No, we try and guess.
Oh, you try and guess. Okay, sorry, Larry. What are the top girl names, do you think?
Okay. I think Snoopy's got to be in there.
No, yeah. I thought it would be.
That's what I was
going to
say.
Peanut.
No.
Oh.
Okay, and you'll go, Ash?
I'm really struggling to get past Snoopy because that's what I had.
Yeah.
That's
Oopy.
Let's go Oopy, I guess.
I was interested in just what you were going to come out with.
Yeah.
There was
Cherry after Cherry.
Something
give Cherry
out.
TV. Yeah, TV. Bailey. Well, actually, Bailey was on there, but number five. With our big bottle of Bailey's in front of us. So it was Daisy.
Okay.
Bella. And Lucy.
Oh,
and the boys are Charlie, Buddy, and Max. Typical ones. Okay, so, what would you go... Let's start with you this time, Ash.
Okay.
What would you go for a boy and then a girl?
I kind of like a dopey kind of name for a beagle. Something kind of slow.
Why is that? Just because of their look?
It's because they're kind of like docile and kind of droopy looking. Yeah. I would call it droopy, like the character Droopy.
Oh, okay. I think he's a bastard, but yeah. And what about a boy?
Sorry.
What about a girl? Sorry. What about a girl?
You know who I would pick is Lou.
Lou, as in a girl name, like a Louise, Lou.
Yeah.
Or short for Lucy.
Or Lucy.
No, because you know why I'm stuck on it is because of the main character of Cats and Dogs. It's a boy called Lou. I'm pretty
Was
sure.
Was he a beagle?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Was he?
Yeah.
Oh. Because
there are famous dogs.
I love how you know. You know,
well, there will be a famous dog section.
Well,
yeah,
like,
and I do love how you say, "Do you know why I'm stuck on it?" Like, no, Lou. So, Larry, what about you?
For a girl, I would go for Daphne.
We were talking about that. I love
earlier,
it.
Earlier, Daphne.
Yeah.
And then for a boy, I think it looks like a Lincoln.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I like that.
Yeah, I think also cool. Just a bit kind. I know it's.
I'm on the similar thing. I like Ralph or Randolph. Ralph.
Yes.
Mm.
And for a girl, I literally just had it. That's really annoying. Oh, Susan. I think Susan, Susie.
Susan
and Susie.
That's so mean.
I think it'll be happy whatever name it gets if it's just come out of a blinking laboratory.
Yeah. It's like Joyce.
Joyce, I quite like those sort of old lady names, Joyce, but Daphne.
Susan. There's something blander than a Susan.
I know, but that's what I quite like. She's not a bland dog. I like Susan. Joshua's literally thinking, no way would we call
absolutely
our dog Susan.
Absolutely shaking his head. Absolutely not. Is he going to walk around with Susan the Beagle?
Susan the Beagle. Now, that's what we need to do. Before we go on to the famous Beagles,
mm-hmm.
Your quiz. So, you know, before we used to do top dog. Those dog, international, the national dog of such
yeah.
and such.
Yeah.
We now have, last week we did the quiz. I'm going to do a quiz this week.
Brilliant.
Okay. Which, you won't get this one, but it's interesting, but we'll put it as a quiz question. Which is the oldest dog to have ever lived at 29 years old? What breed?
I can't think what dog had longest longevity that we spoke about. I'm going to go, a greyhound.
Okay.
Jack Russell Terrier.
Good guess, actually, because I can see why, because they're not, Jack Russell Terriers are sort of, they have the pure breed, but they also, that you can't actually show them in the UK. You can show the Parsons Jack Russell Terrier, but not the Jack Russell. It's neither, but good guesses. It is the Australian cattle dog, lived for 29 years. Anyway, now these ones you should know. What are the dogs most highly, all dogs, if you rounded up all dogs, what is their most highly developed sense? Smell, taste, sight, or touch?
It's got to be scent, surely.
Yeah, smell, scent.
Correct, Mondo. 1-1. Okay, now, don't jump on this one. I'm going to ask... You've got to say it after 3, 2, 1 so we know who the winner is. Which breed of dog has a black tongue? Is it Husky, Borzoi, Basset, or Chow Chow? 3, 2, 1 go.
Basset.
One of you is correct.
I think it's me.
It is Lowry Cavallo-Phillips. It's a Chow Chow. The Chow.
What is that?
Don't know, it's just a breed, it has a blue tongue. It's not all of them, but they usually have a blue or black tongue.
Oh.
Yeah, they look very lion-like with their black tongue. Anyway, Lowry, you're on a winning streak now. Can you tell us some famous beagles or even famous people who've had a beagle? Because there are quite a few.
I absolutely can. So, Ash referenced earlier some famous beagles themselves.
Yeah.
The number one being, of course, Snoopy. Number one beagle from the Peanuts comic strip. Then we have the Beagle Boys from the Donald Duck comics. I'm not familiar with these, but some people might be. They're also in DuckTales.
Yeah.
Never. Have you heard of them?
Yeah, from DuckTales.
Oh.
Now, you may have heard of Inspector Gadget. Inspector Gadget has a little trusty sidekick, which... unnecessarily complexly for a cartoon is a mixed breed of a beagle greyhound.
Oh.
And he is named Brain.
Brain, like that. That's it.
They solve crimes and catch criminals together. Then, I didn't know that this dog was actually a beagle, Gromit, of Wallace and
is
Gromit.
Is he a beagle? Yeah. That's interesting. I used to love Wallace and Gromit.
And then we've got Odie from Garfield.
Yeah.
Is he a beagle? They're all coming out, aren't they? I didn't know that. I used to love Garfield.
Beagle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I used to love Garfield.
And then lastly, we have Mr. Peabody from the movie Mr. Peabody and Sherman. I have not seen it, but...
So I noticed, what was it, when you mentioned Lou from...
I'm going to have to check this.
Check this one out. Yeah, oh, another one. This. Okay.
But we also have many famous owners.
I know a few presidents have owned them.
Okay, who do you think has owned one?
Betty White.
I don't have her on my list.
No,
that's right.
No, I don't even. I'm just. I know she's a real dog lover. As a president, owned one. I'm sure a president has one. Like, is it JFK? JFK?
No.
Oh, 36th president. What is that? Hang on. We're on the Reagan.
No.
Carter.
No.
Bush.
No.
Gerald Ford.
This is fun.
Nixon.
No.
Just keep
Lyndon
going.
Johnson.
Yeah,
I got there
you
in the end.
You cannot count that as a success.
I will add a fact to that. It's the only president Queen Victoria, Queen Elizabeth never met.
Oh, well, she hates beagles.
Yeah. You can have a corgi.
But he famously owned two beagles. I actually really love these names for beagles.
What are their names?
Him and her.
Oh, well,
they were on the Christmas card.
They were called him and her.
Yeah.
That's why the Queen never met him.
Uneventful.
Yeah.
Barry Manilow.
Oh, what was it? Coco Cabana?
No.
What was
Mandy, like the famous song he wrote.
Oh, that's a good one. No. Is that what he sung the song after, I wonder?
Apparently, but I have not checked that.
I like that, yeah.
Andy Cohen of Bravo and Real Housewives fame.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Yes. Bob Dylan, who had a beagle named Peggy.
That's quite a cool name, Peggy.
And Miley Cyrus.
Miley Cyrus? What's she called hers? Dolly?
It does not say.
Oh.
So a bit of anticlimax for that one.
Yeah.
But
that's good. That's goodies.
Frequently featured on social media, but not named in this particular article.
Love it. Mm-hmm. Oh, did you find out Joe?
Lou,
sorry. Is he a beagle?
I can confirm.
You should have written that list, Ash. You should have written that list.
Should have been me.
Anyway, the beagle.
Mm.
Would you go for the beagle? Let's start with Ash.
Interestingly, before we decided to go with the greyhound a long time ago, we were looking at a beagle.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
We were kind of interested in getting a beagle, but we decided no because of the vocalness. And that's why I would also say no.
So you're saying no?
Yeah.
Okay, Ash. Just because of purely vocalness. What if you didn't, because you live in a flat. Say you had, and you soon want to live in a house in the suburb somewhere. Say if you had your house, would you be interested then?
If we lived with a bit of land, you know, had place, room to run about, I'd still say no.
Still say no.
Oh, interesting.
Interesting. Yeah. Do you know, funny enough, another, my great aunt, Marjorie, who's 97, she had a beagle. My mum used to get it wrong. She said Basset, but it was a beagle, and he was very naughty.
Mm.
So I know what you mean. Carry on. I don't want to put that. Yeah. I do think they're lovely.
I like them, yeah, but yeah. I wouldn't get one.
I probably wouldn't either. Even if we had a land and a house, I mean, to say that they're vocal or chatty, I think, is sometimes a bit of an understatement of my personal experience.
Yeah.
I just think that would become very frustrating over time. So probably not for me.
For me, I would say yes. Purely, I think Margot is quite vocal, but not in the house, actually. She's not vocal in the flat. I think that could be dealt with. No, do you know what? If I was working from home, I'd 100% get one, because I think they're really, I think you can train them, etc. I think my setup where I don't work from home, I wouldn't, but they seem to tick a lot of boxes with temperament, etc.
Yeah. Wouldn't want to be at work knowing that the dog was barking a lot of the
or
day.
Or being destructive.
Yeah. Mm.
That would put me off.
Yeah.
But I think for the right family, the idea of you're constantly busy, I think they're the ideal one. So I know we said we wouldn't. I know we said we wouldn't adopt one. Sorry, Bayou. But I would, to be honest, I keep saying to Joshua, should we just go and take Bayou? But the thing is, he is 8 years old. He's got lots of medical issues. But again, if you want to, is there any numbers they can call for the, or they all being rehomed, the 4,000 beagles? We can put it on our, Instagram.
Yeah.
And Larry, remind them what our Instagram.
It is dog in the spotlight with underscores between each word.
So that is the beagle. And even if it's not a beagle, please, 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 if you can rehome, go to the dog shelters and see if there's a special friend for you. Thank you, Larry Cavello-Phillips.
Thank you.
And thank you, Ashley Cavello-Phillips.
Thank you.
And goodbye.